He scooped the thief up by his lapels and flung him into the wall. Killam braced him against it and punched him once, twice, thrice with his ring-studded fist. Lee sagged, his skull cracking against the floor as the big man threw him flat. He was going to kill him. In those brief seconds when he could blink away the blood and tears of pain, Lee saw horrible vengeance glowing on the jackdaw's bulbous face. In the infinite distance, he could hear the boy crying, the old woman pleading with Killam to stop. What is up, you guys? Welcome back to another episode. Where we last left off, Lee goes into Paul's place to save the old woman and to face the jackdaw. As always, I will have a link to the full playlist down in the episode description, so if there is any episode you've missed, you can check that out there. I will also have links to a couple of recap videos for episodes 1 through 10 and 11 through 19, just so that you can get a sense of where we are in the story. All right, I will catch you at the end of the episode. I'm Josh Call, and this is Last Colosseum. The brute shoved him into the room. His boot caught the edge of a floorboard, and Lee went sprawling, landing hard on his knees in a pile of smashed furniture. He winced as long wooden splinters stabbed into his palms. The jackdaw's voice was like distant thunder. Get up. Before he could respond, a fat, calloused hand seized a hank of his hair and dragged him to his feet, wrenching his face back toward the ceiling. The other brute was a blur as he drove a fist into Lee's belly, and he buckled over, his mouth opening and closing like a caught fish. In some unseen corner of the room, he heard Paul's voice, small and frail and out of place among the jackdaw's hulking bruisers.
Please, please don't hurt him. He's a good boy.
Quiet, Killam snapped. One of the thugs wheeled on her, hefting one massive fist, and the old woman quailed.
This doesn't concern you.
He remembered how to breathe, and without looking at any of them directly, he took stock of the ransacked drawing room. As with the rest of Paul's place, the drawing room was ordinarily spare but immaculate. The old woman had waged her perennial war against filth with the uncompromising force of a military commander, no small feat when she shared her roof with a score of boys under 10. The jackdaw's brutes had sacked it with savage thoroughness. There wasn't a chair in the place that hadn't been smashed to flinders. The baubles on the mantle that she lovingly dusted twice daily had been ground to powder, and the thin broom-handle balusters that girded the stairs were broken into so much kindling. At the foot of the stairs, Rooster sneered at him above a pair of crutches tucked into his armpits. His left leg was swathed in dirty bandages, his face a mess of bruises. When his lips parted, Lee saw that half his teeth were missing. One of the bruisers scowled down at the thief, while the other loomed over Paul, tiny and ancient under his massive shadow. A few embers in the hearth threw long shadows across the room and made the jackdaw, who stalked through the ruined drawing room with cruel purpose, splinters crackling under his feet, somehow even more monstrous. The jackdaw spoke.
Did you think I'm a liar, boy? When you came sniveling to my door, begging for my help, did you really think I wouldn't move hell and earth to get what's mine?
His voice was a murmur. He glared down his fat nose at the thief, who steeled his resolve as he opened his mouth to respond. Pain flared bright as the big man slashed his face with the back of his ring-studded hand, and Lee staggered. He felt fresh furrows carve over the half-healed ones the knight's gauntlet had left, and warm blood trickled down his chin.
"I'm not finished," growled the jackdaw. "I told you what would happen if you tried to cross me. I said I'd burn your world to ash."
Lee couldn't bring himself to look him in the eye, but he saw the jackdaw's purple lips split open in a meaty sneer.
"I'm a man of my word, unlike some."
He bobbed his head to the thugs. From some hidden nook, the brutes had produced several heavy wineskins, and at the jackdaw's nod, they thumbed open the corks and spurted a milky yellow stream over the floor. The fatty, nauseating smell of lamp oil filled the small room. Lee's stomach plunged. Paul leapt to her feet and hurled herself at the nearest brute. He hardly reacted to her bony fists slapping against his thick shoulders. He stopped pouring oil just long enough to shove the old woman back with his free hand. She tripped on a piece of broken table and fell against the mantel with a cry. When she looked at the thief, the jackdaw between them, her eyes brimmed with tears.
Lee, the boys.
He didn't respond. His teeth were grit. He didn't know how long it would take for Vig to get the rest of them out, if he could manage it at all. All he could do was play for time, keep the fat man talking, and hope that Paul's god listened to her prayers more keenly than Lee's. He heard a faint creak through the ceiling. He imagined that sound was one of the older boys lifting up one of the others toward a hole they'd pried in the ceiling, passing him up into waiting arms overhead. Killam heard it too. His eyes flicked up. He sneered and took one step toward Lee, his feet squelching in the oil.
You did this. Remember that?
I did what you asked me to,
he heard himself say, his voice quavering only slightly.
I gave you the Reaper.
Out of the corner of his eye, he saw Paul sag against the mantel. He glanced over his shoulder at the jackdaw's men, Rooster glowering at him above his crutches. Anything to avoid her eyes.
It's not my fault if the thugs you sent were too drunk and stupid not to get killed.
Rage twisted at Rooster's face. The fat man's expression darkened. The thief grit his teeth and forced himself to hold his gaze.
I've seen the men you hire,
he spat. His body was tense like a drawn crossbow.
If you couldn't put a hand on him with six, then I don't like your chances with four.
He looked back at Roos.
Well, 3.5.
He was expecting the fat man's fist, but he didn't move quick enough. Even as he was sidestepping him, Killam latched onto his lapel and yanked him close. Lee fought hard against the impulse to squirm away, the instinctive twitch of his hand toward the knife in his waistband.
Keep him talking, he reminded himself.
The jackdaw's rank breath plumed over him. His stomach roiled.
You don't understand, boy. They're not here to catch you. They're here to watch.
He slammed his forehead into the bridge of Lee's nose. He felt it snap, and blood gushed down his chin and dribbled like hot copper down the back of his throat. The jackdaw flung him down. Long splinters stabbed through his tunic, and he gasped, more blood filling his mouth. He coughed and spat, and where he touched the debris, his hands came away sticky with lamp oil.
Krask died begging for mercy,
he snarled, dragging himself to his feet. He glanced back and forth between Killam and Roos.
He tried to sell you out. He'd have said anything.
He caught a glimpse of his dreadful, bloody-mouthed grin reflected in the window.
Didn't stop the Reaper from cutting his heart out.
Rooster snarled and clopped toward him on his crutches. Lee braced himself for the hit.
That's what's coming for you, Killam, he spat. If I was you, I'd be running.
The business end of the boy stealer's crutch whistled toward his head. It bit into the meat between Lee's thumb and forefinger as he caught it. He sprang forward and cracked Rooster in the jaw. It wasn't a very good punch, but it struck home at the tender place where his teeth were missing, and he drew a sharp, satisfying yowl from the outlaw. His pleasure was short-lived. Immediately, the other brutes were upon him, pressing Lee down into the splintery debris and beating him with closed fists. Boots thumped into his side. He gasped, flecking the floor with his own blood. His vision clouded red. It was all he could do to cling to consciousness by the tips of his fingers, protect his head and his arms, and wait for them to quit. After what felt like an hour, the jackdaw called them off. Lee rolled over on his back, the red cloud receding by a few degrees. His back and his ribs ached. It hurt to breathe. Killam towered over him, 100 feet high, his teeth bared. When Lee spoke, his voice sounded hoarse and far away, and he slurred like a man in his cups.
Do you think I don't have friends?
He counted them on trembling fingers.
The Reaper. The Brethren. The Halfpenny Spider. There's not a hole you can hide in where they won't drag you out.
He grinned weakly, blood on his teeth.
The only chance you have is to kiss my feet and beg for mercy.
For just a moment, he thought he saw a flicker of fear on the jackdaw's face. But perhaps it was only the fear and the pain and the hope making Lee see things.
Your mouth is full of sh-.
Killam shook his head.
If that Reaper knew who you are, you rat, if he knew you tried to sell him out, he'd tear you apart.
He squatted down so that his face and the thief's were almost level.
No one's coming to save you.
Are you gonna bet your life on that?
The jackdaw ignored him.
It didn't have to end this way. I think I was more than fair. I gave you chance after chance to settle your account.
He cupped Lee's cheek in his hand, running his thumb over the bloody stripes his rings had left. The thief flinched away from his touch.
I bet you wish you'd joined my stable.
Lee cursed him.
Please!
Paul's voice broke in from her corner by the hearth. She was looking at Killam, her skinny arms outstretched.
Think about your own soul. You can show mercy.
Quiet, hag, or I will cut your bloody throat.
You can't reason with him,
Lee heard himself say. He didn't dare look at the old woman. Like a street boy being stalked by a rabid dog, he kept his eyes trained on the jackdaw.
He's gonna take what he wants, even if it kills him.
The fat man had stood up to menace the old woman. Now he peered coldly down his nose at Lee. Paul was praying under her breath.
You're in no position to make threats, sneered the jackdaw. I hope he does come,
he reflected.
I get my bounty and I get to cut your heart out. Must be my name day.
See it as our anchor, whispered Paul. Protect your people. Turn the hearts of your enemies toward you. Break them for...
The jackdaw snarled.
I said shut up.
He spun on his heel and cuffed her twice. Paul sagged against the wall, trying to shield herself with her bony arms. Lee's guts clenched. He swam through the haze of pain and tried to force himself to his feet. He'd sat up when Killam glanced down at him, his eyes bright, one hand bloody and glittering as he raised it for another slap.
What do you think, Lee? One for every crown you cost me. Or better yet...
His eyes flicked up to his brutes.
Get me one of the boys.
The thugs traded a look.
They've locked the door, mumbled Rooster.
Then break it down,
spat the fat man. The two bruisers thundered up the stairs. Lee's heart leapt into his throat as the thud of the big men throwing their shoulders against the door boomed through the ceiling, more creaking from the upstairs room. The door finally splintered open, and indistinct shouts echoed down. Blood roared in the thief's ears.
Kill him, don't, he heard himself plead. I can get you what you want. I can get you the Reaper, I can... There's a necklace, at a hawk shop. I can get you him, I can get you the necklace, just don't.
A familiar shrill cry turned Lee's insides to ice. Paul gasped. Tromping down the stairs, one of the jackdaw's thugs held a small, thrashing body with a shock of orange hair slung over his shoulder. Simmons' face was flushed crimson, and he pounded at the brute's back with both fists, squealing for help. The other bruiser marched across the wreckage and muttered something in the jackdaw's ear. It was hard to hear him over the screaming of the boy, but as the first thug clapped a hand over Sim's mouth, Lee heard the words,
through the roof.
Even through the haze of pain, satisfaction surged in the thief's heart. The jackdaw glowered down at him, his gaze dripping poison.
You little...
He drove a boot hard into Lee's side, and the world flickered. He scooped the thief up by his lapels and flung him into the wall. Killam braced him against it and punched him once, twice, thrice with his ring-studded fist. Lee sagged, his skull cracking against the floor as the big man threw him flat. He kicked him again, the toe of his boot leaving a white-hot knife embedded between Lee's ribs.
He was going to kill him.
In those brief seconds when he could blink away the blood and tears of pain, Lee saw horrible vengeance glowing on the jackdaw's bulbous face. In the infinite distance, he could hear the boy crying, the old woman pleading with Killam to stop. When he did, his flushed face was beaded with sweat. He produced a kerchief from his pocket and dabbed his face with it. He scrutinized the thief as though to make sure he was still breathing. He never looked away as he beckoned his thugs.
"Bring the boy."
Sim thrashed against the brute's iron grip as the bruiser carried him toward the fat man. Paul lurched forward and grabbed the jackdaw by his shirt sleeve.
"No, please!"
Killam snarled and swatted her back. Lee didn't remember standing up. Before he saw Sim's face, as red as his hair and slick with snot and tears, he didn't think he could. It was as if he'd found some deep reserve of will he hadn't known about, the kind that allows a gray-haired grandam to lift a mule cart off her trapped child or to fight off a shadow cat stalking her little ones. All he knew was that he was on his feet. The pain had receded enough to think, and the knife was in his hand. The jackdaw's back was to him, hunched over a bloodied paw. Lee jumped on him, curling an arm around his meaty neck as he spun the knife so that the point hovered an inch above the bastard's eye.
"Let him go," Lee barked at the brute who was holding Sim.
The others lurched toward Lee, their hands outstretched. The apple of Killam's neck bobbed wildly against the crook of his elbow. The thug holding the boy didn't move.
"Let him go!"
"Do it,"
muttered the jackdaw, his voice soft and strangely calm. The knife point quivered above his eye. The bruiser dropped Sim, and the boy rushed past the fat man to Paul slumped against the wall. Lee kept his eyes trained on the three thugs. They were staring at him with the same cautious attention as he had the jackdaw minutes earlier.
"Sim, get her out of here," he said under his breath.
The boy met his gaze. Lee could tell he was about to protest.
"Go!"
They went. Sim helped the old woman to her feet, leading her by the hand between the jackdaw's men and out the door. The thief's mind was racing. He knew he didn't have long before this last rush of will ran dry. He couldn't outrun them. He couldn't fight. He thought about slamming the knife through the fat man's eye and into his twisted brain. They'd kill him for that, no question. He wondered if it'd be worth it, just to be sure the jackdaw couldn't hurt anyone again. Like sinking a plague ship to keep the disease from spreading.
"You're not getting out of here,"
the jackdaw rumbled, his words vibrating against the inside of Lee's arm.
"We have unfinished business, you and I."
If he could get outside, he could scream for help, wake up the neighbors, draw a crowd. If he could get enough attention, he could force the jackdaw and his brutes to flee. He hoped. He snarled in the fat man's ear.
"You're in no position to make."
He moved like lightning. The instant Lee's knife point inched a degree away from his eye, Killam's left hand came up to parry the blade while his right curled around the thief's head, and he smashed his skull into Lee's mouth. It dazed him just long enough for the jackdaw to shrug him off, and he easily swatted away a wild swing of the knife. He caught a hank of Lee's hair and slammed his head against the edge of the mantle. The world flickered again. He landed in a heap at the edge of the hearth. He smelled burning hair as a few stray strands were crisped on the hot embers. The knife was still in his hand, but before he could use it, if he could use it, a boot stepped on his knife hand and twisted hard. The jackdaw's face loomed above him, fringed by flickering darkness at the edges of his vision. He plucked at the drawstring of his breeches, and his belly bulged through the gap.
"You've got some eggs, boy."
There was blood on his face. Lee's teeth had left two little gouges above his right ear, and his shoulder was splattered with crimson.
"I've been waiting for this."
Lee spit at him. The jackdaw laughed. With his free hand, Lee shook the sleeve of his tunic down over his fingers. He grit his teeth, steeled his will, and thrust his hand into the coals. He immediately gasped at the searing heat that pierced like needles through the thin fabric of his tunic. But he managed to scoop a few of the coals and flung them at the fat man in a spray of sparks and embers. Most of them missed and went skittering across the floor, but a few embers bounced off his belly and left ash marks on his cream shirt. Killam looked down at the little gray streaks and smirked.
Good try.
Lee swallowed and nursed his blistered fingers. The fat man swooped toward him. A sheet of yellow flame swept toward the ceiling as the oil-doused wreckage caught, bathing the walls in golden light. The jackdaw's face disappeared, and he heard dim shouts as the brutes tried to beat out the flames with their cloaks. The fire licked greedily across the splintered furniture, the heat instantly drying his face. He rolled onto his side and gasped with pain. His ribs were broken. His thoughts were faint and fragmented through the haze. The thugs hadn't doused the kitchen with oil. The fire hadn't spread there yet. If he could just crawl there. He'd barely made it onto all fours when a huge hand engulfed him and dragged him back. The jackdaw appeared above him, his eyes glowing with firelight. He said something, but Lee couldn't hear him over the flames. The last thing he saw before the black was Killam's boot heel.
Thank you guys so much for listening. We are right now closing in on halfway through this entire story. So if you have come late to the party, fear not, there is a whole lot more left to come. As always, it is a huge favor if you leave a like or a comment on the video. And if you're listening on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, anything like that, to leave a 5-star review on the podcast. All right, that is enough from me. My voice is fried. I'm gonna drink some water and catch all of you next week.